from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester will rejoin us in just a little bit. Jad Chambers, man in the ship, driving that IHOP hotline for you here. And look, it's going to be a fun second hour because we're going to talk a little Chiefs. We're going to talk a little Royals. In this hour, we're going to give away a little HTO. Jad, how into the Olympics have you been so far?
Just watched a couple of events, really not very into it. Yesterday, I think pretty much all during the Steve and Ted show yesterday, we were watching that field hockey matchup between the U.S. and Spain that wound up as a tie. That was interesting. Have you ever watched field hockey?
I'll take in anything with the Olympics, nation to nation. It's been hard trying to stay away from spoilers. My kids are super into the gymnastics and the swimming, so I've been trying to like avoid what is happening as it's happening, and then go to it recorded at night. And so we've been watching that. I did catch a little women's volleyball, just traditional volleyball against China last night. The USA lost there in pool play, so it's okay. But I love it. I love the Olympics. I love that you can just sort of turn it on at any point. And yeah, find field hockey. I've enjoyed watching a little women's rugby. The Americans have some ballers out there in that. What else? It's all on the table for me when it comes to the Olympics. I like all of it. Some of the surfing has been kind of cool to see. They're doing that in Tahiti. But my kids being into it has certainly made me more into like appointment viewing with it. Normally, I would just kind of have it on. Track and field is always a blast. I can't wait for track and field. And I can't wait for women's gymnastics tonight. Shout out to the men's gymnastics team. They finally got back on the podium. That was awesome yesterday.
You know, one of my favorite events is, and this is a strange one, and the U.S. didn't qualify in this event at all. They didn't even have, don't even have a team. Court handball.
Oh, handball. I think I put this out on social media. Handball seems like it would be the most fun sport ever.
It is.
It's like some odd combination of things. Handball looks awesome to me and looks like it would be such a blast.
It is a super lot of fun to play. And it's one of those where I wish the U.S. had a team in there that I could root for, because it's fun to play, and it's actually kind of fun to watch. So I don't know. I just I wish we were better at it than apparently we are.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know how our, you know, we don't follow that sport, but all those weird sports, that's what I love about the Olympics.
Oh yeah.
And I, you know, I know people have been upset about the opening ceremony, which is, you know, I've got no issue with being upset about that. I just hope it doesn't take away from, you know, the athletes that devote 4 years of their lives for this one competition and this one stage. And oftentimes it's in sports like handball where there's no like recognition otherwise,
right?
That we can still celebrate those achievements. But the Olympics are there. Again, the big headline yesterday was men's gymnastics got it done. That was good stuff. Women tonight, Simone Biles, you know, on a hobbled leg. It isn't what she does is just so absurd athletically. And hopefully that leg can hold up for her tonight and they can do some magical things there for the U.S. women at the Olympics here. But I've been in on it.
Yeah.
No, also
something I noticed about the field hockey that we were watching yesterday and something I don't understand as a fan of regular ice hockey. I got to say this, those sticks are too short.
I don't know.
You have to bend over and crouch down and try to run while you're moving this ball along. And I'm just thinking that sport would just have to destroy your back.
Yeah. That hurts my back just thinking about
it. Yeah. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good. I mean, I wake up every morning and I got to like stretch my back. So yeah. The Jalen Daniels stuff, I just think about a back. Like if you had a bad back, like the few times in my life, my back, it's gone out basically. I've thrown it out maybe, I don't know, 3-4 times. Like you can't move. And so that's, you know, to the Jalen Daniels stuff. And if you missed any of our conversation with Brandon Zinner, who's at that first practice today, that first fall practice, you can go back and listen to that on the Odyssey app. But man, it's like the thought of trying to play football, even with us, like a sore back from waking up in the middle, I got to like spend 10 minutes trying to stretch out every day. It's daunting. And so, you know, good luck to him. I hope he's fully healthy. I really do. It's wild. But the Olympics are out there. We'll continue to keep our eye on it. The women go today. Women's gymnastics. So that'll be the big story today. And some of the swimming. I never get tired of the swimming. I never really knew what was happening with swimming until my kids got into swimming. Now I at least know what the strokes are. I can't swim, right? I mean, I can sort of like doggy paddle across the pool.
Yeah, you won't drown. But
yeah. But I don't swim. That's not my thing. I'm the guy who does the cannonball contest out at Crestview for their big parties, but I have to hold my nose when I jump in the water and know everybody's going to make fun of me for holding my nose. That's me in a pool. But, you know, it is what it is. Neither one of my parents can swim. Like if they got in the water, they would sink. They don't know how to swim. So wow. I feel like I've thrived in that environment. Quite. Thank you very much. I can stay afloat and I can get where I need to go. It might take me a little longer, but I'll get there. Got a mean, like, what's the one where you lay on your back and you kind of do like a frog? I can do that with the best of them. But, you know, we're all good. We're all good there. Let's talk Chiefs. So we played this right before we had a spontaneous call there and interview with Brandon, which we really appreciate. We were playing some Chiefs audio from Mitch Holthus, and he's just talking about Patrick Mahomes and his leadership compared to other quarterbacks. You know, Mitch is is the voice of the Chiefs, so he's certainly going to have an affinity for Chiefs players.
Right.
But you know, talking about Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers missing work, I will say this in fairness, Patrick Mahomes is, you know, almost two decades younger than those guys. I don't know that that's a totally fair comparison, but in the moment it is for like what's happening right now. We know nobody works harder at this than Patrick Mahomes. There are probably players that work as hard, but nobody's going to work harder. And he's already the best. So, you know, you walk through this and you see it. But I think from what I am hearing, not just from Mahomes, but mostly from Mahomes, that there is a chip on the shoulder that is not just like some artificial thing. I think it's legitimately there. I think Mahomes, you know, as you look, you know, at the law of averages, that was not a statistically good season. In the regular season, that's as much as we've ever seen Mahomes struggle. And it wasn't all his fault, obviously. There were a lot of really, really bad receivers that contributed to that through drops and and adding to the pressure of things. But man, I'm telling you, Jad, like I don't think there is any doubt that his hair in particular is on fire to go back to lighting the league up offensively. And I think he has the horses to do it this year. And I just, think it is going to be an explosive year for him offensively versus what we saw a year ago. They are clearly in camp early on, and I know they're not trying to show too much. They are getting Worthy acclimated quickly. We already know Hollywood Brown is there. Like, they're going to take deep shots again. They were the first to adjust to this, you know, two deep safety thing, and now they're almost going to counter it, I think. And I've thought that even before they brought players in. They were the first to have to adjust to the way defenses were defending quarterbacks, which is why I think quarterback play has been suppressed just a little bit. I think now they're going to counter that again, because that's what happens in the NFL, right? You see these trends come out, and, you know, all of a sudden the Bucs figure out how to defend the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Then everyone starts doing it, and then that's kind of a rough year offensively. And then, you know, and then they get back after they let go of Tyreek Hill, and then last year happens with the bad play. I just think it's going to be an explosive year offensively, and I think, like, I don't know what the MVP odds are, but I ain't bet against Mahomes this year. I think his numbers are going to be stupid this year. I don't know which of the receivers is the biggest beneficiary of that, but I think Mahomes is going to be stupid good again this year. Statistically, he's always stupid good.
Well, I think they're all going to benefit from it. I think that's kind of one of those things, is we're going to see a better year from more. We're not just going to have, you know, maybe one or two guys catching all the passes. We're going to see a little bit better. We're going to see a little bit better depth, I think, there. I think the important thing is, last year there were those offensive struggles, and what was saving them was defense. And Mitch told us earlier that he thought the defense was better. I don't necessarily see how that's the case.
Yeah, but
if it is, and that, you know, takes some of the pressure off of someone like Mahomes, or, you know, someone like the defense who may be getting in a little quicksand because of the early drops in the game. If the pressure's off because the defense is great, they really could go crazy.
It could go crazy. Like, that's why I said, like, win 14 games crazy. I agree with you. That was I and we got to get Mitch back on, and we will, to further explain that and see if he's still seeing that or thinking that in camp, because that is crazy. Jet, Mahomes last year, and this is what I mean. If you go back and you look at, we'll call it qualifying starters, and we'll include Kirk Cousins in this. Maybe we should even include Jake Browning. I suppose we should, because he started 9 games. Cousins started 8. We'll eliminate Mason Rudolph, for example, who only played 4 games. But if you go just, and I know quarterback rating is not the end all be all, but if you just went and looked at quarterback rating, where do you think Mahomes ranked last year among qualifying starters and quarterback rating in the NFL?
I would go middle of the pack, probably.
13.
13. Okay, there you go. A little bit better than middle
for Patrick Mahomes. Now, if you go to ESPN's quarter QBR thing, he's 8. But still, that and that is the kind of thing that was so strange. And again, obviously, Mahomes was dealing with very limited talent at pass catcher. It was basically Kelsey and nobody else until Rashee Rice finally started to figure out, in which, you know, Mahomes started to put it together. But if you go back and look historically at Mahomes, by far, you know, the worst of that number over his career now, and he's been a starter for 6 full seasons. Like, the fact that he had almost the fewest touchdowns he's had as a starter and the most interceptions is mind-blowing. Because, Jad, they still won the Super Bowl, right? They still won the Super Bowl. You got the worst numbers you're ever going to get out of Patrick Mahomes, and they still won the Super Bowl. That should terrify the rest of the league. He's going to be much closer to or surpass the year before, where he was at 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns, than he was last year. That's going to happen if he's healthy. And so that's where that defense thing comes in. Like, the league ought to be. Now, I will say, does that mean they're guaranteed to win the Super Bowl? No, it doesn't. It just means they're going to be so much better, I think, in the regular season than they were a year ago. Does that ultimately mean a Super Bowl win? That's a crapshoot. Because if you look at the razor-thin margins at which they've been able to win all 3 of their Super Bowls, and if just, like, one thing goes the other direction on them, they don't win those. Like, that's where I think the difference of them clearly being like the best team in the regular season versus a shoe-in to win a third straight Super Bowl, there's a reason teams haven't won a third straight Super Bowl. There's a reason that's never happened in the history of the NFL.
Well, yeah, anything can happen in the playoffs.
You know, anything can happen in the playoffs. The Cowboys of the mid-90s had the best team when they lost to the Niners in that third, you know, when they could have had four straight. They were the best team that year. The Patriots were probably the best team in some of those years they went for three straight, but they didn't get it, right? And so Kansas City, clearly, I mean, they were the best team when they played Tampa in the Super Bowl. That Tampa had a better game plan in that particular game. And think about how close all three of the Super Bowl wins have been.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's just like little things going another direction. So I think you've got two different things there with the Chiefs. They will be better in the regular season than they were a year ago. I would... Like, the chances of them leading the league in wins is high for me. There's a difference in that and saying, like, them versus the field or whatever for the Super Bowl, because in the playoffs, the craziness ensues. But I still, if you're Mahomes and you're the Chiefs, I think you can start there. And that's why we're hearing a lot of this stuff and the work in the offseason. Because I think they're fully aware. And Mahomes said this the first chance he got at camp. Like, yeah, the end result was really good last year, but it was not fun to get there. And I'm sure that he and Kelce feel very fortunate that they were able to. They got it turned on and they leaned on the defense. I know what Mitch Holthus said about the defense. I think it's unlikely they're as good as they were a year ago. But just because of, you know, everything going right, they lost, to me, one of the top corners in the league. Chris Jones is a year older. He's already getting nicked up and banged up a little bit. But they could still be really good. But, man, if you're that offense right now, Mahomes' eyes seem so big with it, with Worthy there now and Hollywood Brown. We've sort of thought Rashee Rice was going to be suspended for much of the season. I don't know that that's going to happen, if at all, this year. And then they've got these other guys that they're working back in. I think Kelce's going to have a really nice year. They won't lean on him as much, but he won't have nearly as much double coverage and those things to work through. It'll be a special year for the offense. Does that guarantee a third Super Bowl? No, nothing does. But I do think it means they're going to have a much better regular season than they did a year ago.
Well,
and they'll be
to expand on what you said earlier, you were talking about it's not like it's the Chiefs versus, you know, the field when you're talking about it. Yes, that's true. But there's no other team you would put in that comparison.
Absolutely not. No.
If you had to put one in the comparison, it has to be the Chiefs.
Absolutely. I agree. It's two different things. If I'm picking a team to lead the league in wins, I think it's overwhelmingly Chiefs. But that is very different from versus the field to win a Super Bowl. Versus the field, we'll put it this way, versus the field in regular season wins then versus the field in, you know, winning a Super Bowl are two very, very different things. But I think that there is such a good chance they're the best regular season team. And I don't want to say it won't be close, because I'm sure Joe Burrow healthy would like to have something to say about that. I think the Ravens probably got a little better, and I think there's a good chance the Eagles bounce back. But man, when you're looking at this stuff and you just like, when we remember, and we welcome back in Tommy. Tommy, when we remember, we like in the Mahomes audio brought this up. Think about last year, just Mahomes. When he says it's not fun and all these things, Mahomes by quarterback rating, Tommy, and I know you just walked back in, so I'm going to ask you this, the same question I asked Chad. Where do you think he finished last year in quarterback rating for guys that started at least 8 or 9 games?
I think it's pretty high because of the number of low-risk passes that he made.
No.
Really?
No, he was 13th
okay.
in the league last year. 13th in the league. Behind the likes of Jake Browning, who started 9 games, and Derek Carr and Baker Mayfield and Justin Herbert, who had a really bad year by his own standard. Mahomes had the fewest touchdowns, almost the fewest touchdowns, and the most interceptions that he's ever had. Now, again, that's not on Mahomes. We know all that. But how much better is he going to be than that this year? Because I think he'll be, I would bet him to win the MVP. I would not bet anybody else to win the, I wouldn't even waste my money. To know that he and that offense are going to be that much better, because I think they will be. I think he'll challenge the numbers he put up 2 years ago, if not surpass them. When we look at the regular season, like, get out of the way, rest of the league, because I think they're going to light it up offensively.
Yeah, I mean, I think that really with the weapons that they have been able to surround Mahomes with this year, I mean, that's going to be the major offensive storyline this season. And I think that one benefit to this is that everybody has fresh in their minds the offensive struggles in the passing game last season. So the bar is really low. The bar is like
so low.
The bar, it's crazy how shockingly low the bar is for the passing game when you have the greatest quarterback in the league, the best quarterback in the league, but the bar is shockingly low with the passing game. And it's not Mahomes' fault. It's just who he had to throw the ball to a year ago and just consistent issue week after week after week after week. Now you've got a collection of wide receivers, presumably that are, you know, going to start around him. Rashee Rice came on at the end of last year. Hollywood Brown is in place. They drafted Xavier Worthy, obviously Travis Kelce. Do I think that this wide receiver room all of a sudden is the best wide receiver room in the NFL? No, I don't. But because that bar was set so low, I think it is going into this season, I think the difference between last year and this year will be striking. And I think it will seem like this wide receiver room is probably better than they actually are. That's okay. That's not a knock on them. But, you know, to your point, as far as, and I know you've said it multiple times, that you think Mahomes is going to feast this year. I don't think you're wrong, but I think it's a combination of the bar being set so low, you've got Patrick Mahomes, and you just, I think, yeah, it's a clear upgrade, but it's not this, like, all of a sudden they're now the best wide receiver room in the NFL.
No, it's more about it's so much better with Mahomes, to me. And that's even, like, even if things don't go particularly well on the offensive line, I don't know that I'm worried that will suppress the overall offensive numbers. I think it just enhances the injury risk for Mahomes, which is the concern for me on the offensive line. It's not, I don't think there's anything outside of injury that's going to hold this offense back this year. I think there is almost no chance that Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore are as bad as they were a year ago. They may not be that much better, but they won't be as bad. That's hard to imagine because they were so bad last year. If Rashee Rice does not get suspended this year, which is starting to look like a real possibility, I just don't know how a defense will be able to stop what's coming. Even if Mahomes doesn't get a lot of time, he's going to scramble. We know what he does. But to think about the likelihood that they can use Rice and Kelce essentially over the middle and run Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy over the top, that's four guys that are going to do a variety of things. You still have to account for Isaiah Pacheco and potentially for another player out of the backfield. It's just like, it's too much. It's too much for Mahomes, who has developed the ability to be a short game passer if he needs to be. Like, we've seen that now for 2 years.
I mean, don't you think that defenses, in my opinion, are going to do a couple of different things. First off, I think they're going to absolutely do their best to keep everything in front of them. You know, defenders, like in the secondary, you got to keep everything in front of you. You can't let anybody beat you deep, and you can't let Kelce or Rice get behind you, because if they do that, then they're gone. So, you know, I think in a lot of cases, and this reminds me an awful lot of the way that Bob Sutton used to coach the Chiefs defense. It's okay to give up, you know, small little chunk plays, 4 or 5 yards, whatever. Yeah. Just keep everything in front of you. I think that's got to be part of the way the defenses attack the Chiefs offense coming into this season. Just the mere threat of having Hollywood Brown, down the sideline or, you know, cutting across the middle of the field deep, I think will force that to have to happen. And number two, you know, I know that you are a big believer that Travis Kelce is going to have a resurgence this season, at least in his stat line, which took a little bit of a dip last season. And I don't disagree with that, but I'm even looking elsewhere. I think that Isaiah Pacheco will have, assuming he can stay healthy,
I do too,
will have a pretty large role in this offense. Because if defenses are going to sell out to the pass, And I think you kind of have to, otherwise Mahomes will carve you up, especially with those receivers that he's got. Then I think that that allows an opportunity for, whether it's Isaiah Pacheco, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, whoever else, to, you know, really have a lot of success on the ground. Primarily Pacheco. I think Pacheco will be the main beneficiary of that.
I do too. I think so. With and this is, it's a good point because, yeah, I do think that is ultimately what defenses will have to do, which enhances the pressure on the red zone offense. So the red zone offense is where, you know, we look at the difference in yardage and touchdowns, right? And Butker was such a big part of what they did last year. But I think one of the big areas and why I think, like, when I say Kelce is more, it's in touchdowns. Because I think Kelce and Pacheco now will be allowed to be much bigger red zone threats even than they were a year ago. Because you at least have, last year when the Chiefs got into the red zone, you know, there were basically two options. Try to find Kelce or try to ram it down the other team's throat with Pacheco. I still think the Chiefs want to do that. But they have other ways to do it too, which they did not have last year. Like, you get into the red zone, you didn't want anybody else touching the ball last year or even trying, right? Like, and Rice became that. So, you know, Rice sort of is what unlocked everything. But these other guys are red zone threats too. And I think that's what I think really opens up. Look, I think Kelce could have fewer receptions, certainly fewer snaps, but better numbers in general because he's going to be allowed to score more touchdowns again. Kelce's the touchdown master. What did he have last year? Like six?
Yeah, he didn't have many.
So that comes back. And that's where Pacheco is going to be. And the other thing with Pacheco, why he might be so good is because they may be in a position to just run the clock out a lot this year. And so, you know, that's an interesting part of his game too. Like, it could be very much he doesn't get a lot of carries through the first three quarters and then gets 10 touches in the fourth quarter because they're just trying to do that. I know this sounds like all roses for the Chiefs. I think you know, as long as 15's healthy, I think it is all roses in the regular season. Playoffs, all bets are off. We know that now. Like, we know that now. But in the regular season, what happened last year, the chances of that repeating are so, so small. And a part of that is because of the attitude they've taken in this offseason to make sure it doesn't happen, but also the work of the front office. It became very clear what they were attacking this offseason and what they wanted to change. And it's the thing we've been talking about. They don't want that offense again out there this regular season. And they just happen to be going for a third straight Super Bowl, which is, of course, all the motivation anybody needs. So there's that. We'll continue to get some Holt this audio, some check-ins from Chiefs camp there this week. So we're looking forward to that. When we come back, Mahomes is great. Bobby Witt Jr. is pretty great, too. What a night for Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, it's laughable. If you watched the last two or three innings of that game last night, baseball players seldom have that much singular impact on the outcome of a game. It was unreal. We'll get into that. We'll look ahead to tonight's game for the Royals as well. Try and keep you apprised of anything happening at the trade deadline. It's been a quiet morning on the final day of making trades in Major League Baseball. Well, sort of. We'll get to it all as we return. Sports Daily coming your way right after this.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is KFH. We're glad you're with us listening. All this football coverage we've had for the last few minutes on KFH, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan. Versus AT&T and Verizon, use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We'll set up our giveaway today, our text giveaway for some HTO iced tea, more than 20 flavors. You can win that by entering the by texting the keyword TEA to short code 20357. Once per day, message and data rates apply. You'll also get a free ring coffee on us here. So a free iced tea, a free coffee at any of the Wichita Metro locations. Two in Wichita, one in Derby. Good luck, everybody, on that contest. T to 20357. We have made our way through. Tommy, you missed this. We have Brandon Zinner hop on the fly there because he sent me a video surprise you stepped out of Jalen Daniels at camp. And Jalen Daniels, to me, looks good. He looks good. He looks like he's gained muscle, which tells me his back probably feels okay. We did get into, you know, some of the things that if he misses time, Ballard looks, you know, paying attention to Ballard in that defense. So you can go back and listen to any of that conversation and watch for Brandon's reports on 12 News a little later today. Of course, you can see us. A lot of you are on 12 News Connected right now. Let's talk about Bobby Witt Jr. last night. I don't think anything significant has happened at the trade deadline since we've been on the air. So we continue to watch that. That deadline's, I believe, 5 o'clock Central today. That was almost a disaster last night. Royals bullpen is not good in the game. They're down going into the eighth. And then Bobby Witt Jr. gets a chance with the bases loaded. What does he do? Of course, what does he do? Hits a grand slam on a pretty good pitch, by the way. First pitch he sees in the at-bat. And then what does he do in the ninth with MacArthur? Quatrero? And I don't think Quatrero really had much of a choice on this. He throws MacArthur out back out there in the ninth. And Bobby Witt Jr. makes two spectacular plays, essentially, to end the game. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better day at the office than that in impacting the outcome of a game when you're not a starting pitcher. That was pretty incredible from Bobby Witt Jr. yesterday. And I'll say, too, not surprising at all.
No, I mean, that's what Bobby Witt Jr. does, and that's what he has consistently done, and it's both at the plate and it's on the field. He does both things exceptionally well, and, you know, it usually happens where maybe one or the other is on display. For the Royals, both were on display in back-to-back innings, and so, you know, him being able to do that in a basically, I would say, a crucial spot. Because the Royals had been kind of scuttling a little bit. The White Sox are a terrible team. You can't drop one to the worst team in Major League Baseball, you know, especially a team that's lost 14 in a row while you are, you know, continuing to try to push for playoff position. All those things combined, and it was absolutely clutch. The grand slam, you can't get any more clutch than that for a go-ahead grand slam in the eighth inning on the first pitch you see. And then to be able to seal the deal with a couple of tremendous defensive plays, it's nobody else but Bobby Witt Jr. And that's, I think, the thing that's so impressive is that we've seen players that have been, you know, at the top of the sport for a long time, and they're usually known for one major thing, right? Like, you know about the sluggers that are mashing home runs left and right. And, you know about the great Cy Young pitchers and, you know, the defensive Gold Glove winners year after year after year. Bobby Witt Jr. has the offense and the defense. I mean, yeah, you know,
all of it.
And of course, people are going to, like, of course, Shohei is a unicorn. So, you know, he's got both pitching and hitting, which nobody else can do in Major League Baseball. That's a completely separate category entirely. But for, you know, the players that are out there right now that are position players, you know, I don't know if there's a more complete all-around player. I don't think that there is that's better in Major League Baseball than Bobby Witt Jr., bar none.
Well, look, I'm not going to say he's better hitter than Shohei Ohtani.
I'm saying an all-around player. There's not a better all-around player, position player, exclusive position player in Major League Baseball right now than Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah, look, I've told you there's not a player I would take ahead of him when I consider, like, you know, future and everything else. I've been on that basically this entire season. It's hard because Shohei's not pitching right. And when Shohei's pitching, if you think of that as all around because he does those two things, then nobody's ever going to be ahead of him while he's on this pace. But yeah, look, Juan Soto's only 25. So careful. Like, Soto's only 25, and he's also in the MVP conversation. Acuna's hurt. I'd still take Bobby Witt Jr. over both of those guys. Mostly because he plays shortstop at a very high level. But yes, the thing about Bobby Witt Jr. for me, you never know about, like, the clutch gene, which he certainly has. You never know about, but well, that, let me rephrase that. I didn't know he had this kind of batting average in him. At this batting average, which he's on a tear, yeah, it's not going to be particularly close if he continues to do that. Now, that's the big thing long-term to see, because his power is still developing. Like, he's still developing as a power. We have not seen the peak of his power. We've seen the peak of his speed. We've probably seen the peak of his defense. I didn't think his batting average would get this high. That's something to watch. And his power, how high does his power get? Has he become a 40 home run guy? I mean, I think he could. So, like, there's still so much oozing upside there, and the clutch gene and the face of the franchise and the future of baseball. All those things go into it. So, yeah, I wouldn't either. But it's what he's doing at such a young age, putting the team on his back so often this year, that has been remarkable to watch. And, you know, as much as the front office deserves all the credit in the world for the offseason that they had and bringing in these free agents and doing these things, getting him signed long term is far more impactful, I think, than any of those things overall. And it does amplify the pressure on that front office to go for it this year. People always, the counter to it, and we have great listeners and commenters that say this all the time, you don't want to sacrifice the future to do, but I think the future is Bobby Witt Jr. Like, the future stops and it begins and ends with him. So, you know, regardless of the contract, yeah, they got him locked up long term, but he's a more than one contract baseball player. So can they do that again? Or do you look at this?
Odyssey celebrates the back to school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
More realistically, and say the window is Bobby Witt Jr.'s contract, because he is going to very likely be, if not the best player in baseball, the second or third best player in baseball. And it'll be an argument every year, but at worst, he's in the conversation for it. That's why you don't wait. Like, who cares about, you know, 2030 right now? You're not like, no, nobody cares about that. The fans certainly don't. Like, we worry about that for a lot of teams, and I think it's justified and fair. But a lot of teams don't have Bobby Witt Jr. out there. You know, teams that have played that role don't have that kind of player on the roster. The Rays never have. The Guardians, if you want to make a case for Jose Ramirez, okay, he's been in the conversation, but I'm not sure we've ever looked at Jose Ramirez and been like, that's the best player in baseball. And he's on like a Hall of Fame pace, but I don't think we've ever said that. We're saying that with Bobby Witt Jr. You can't afford to let that contract play out. Angels have made this mistake. And they, it's not because they, you know, they didn't try. They tried. They just failed. But you got to try if you're the Royals. And right now is the window.
They're, just it. Yeah. And look, like, I think that you can easily look at some of the data and some of the analytics, and it backs that up 100%. The best metric to look at in this conversation is wins above replacement. That's the bottom line. Like, that is the, bar none, the best metric to look at as we're trying to assess where Bobby Witt Jr. ranks amongst his peers in Major League Baseball right now. There's not a player in Major League Baseball this season right now that has a total combined wins above replacement over Bobby Witt Jr. Now, it might
Aaron
be.
Judge does.
No, he doesn't. It might be different if Shohei Ohtani was pitching this year, but he's not. So, and I'm talking about, I'm talking about all wins above replacement combined, both batting and defensive wins above replacement. You add that into the mix, and Bobby Witt Jr. is above Aaron Judge in wins above replacement. If you combine batting war and defensive war, batting war, he is number two behind Aaron Judge. It goes Aaron Judge, Bobby Witt Jr., Juan Soto, Shohei Ohtani, Gunnar Henderson. But then you take a look at the defensive war, and Bobby Witt Jr. is 14th in Major League Baseball. None of the players ahead of him are anywhere near where he's at in the batting war. So you add in his 1.2, that's his defensive war. You add that to his 7.2 on the batting war, and all of a sudden he's at 8.4.
He's at 6.2 offensively, I believe.
No, he's at 7.2 not, offensively. No. At the graph looking at right now, as of today, he is at 7.2, right behind Aaron Judge in batting war, and then 1.2 in defensive war. Combining those two together, there's not another player in Major League Baseball that has a higher war than he does.
Well, this is weird because I'm seeing three different wars at three different places. Whatever. And maybe they're not all updated. I don't know. Because ESPN has him at 6.2, and I don't think he gained a game in one day. Maybe they use different metrics. Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant because his defense factors in. I think it does with Aaron Judge. He plays shortstop, right? He plays shortstop.
He directly impacts the game at a defensive level far greater than anybody else that competes with him as far as his offensive ability.
Jaron Duran would be the other guy in that conversation, but he's far enough behind him offensively that it's not, you know, that it's not there. So all of that being said, again, do you take anybody, like when you consider everything, do you take anybody over him? I don't think you do. You know, Gunnar Henderson's going to remain in that conversation too. Shohei Ohtani will pass everybody once he pitches again. But there, you know, you're looking right now at an MVP race. It's still a four-horse race between Judge, Witt, Soto, and Henderson in the American League. And it's probably going to remain a four-horse race down the stretch. If Witt continues the tear he's been on post-All-Star break, he will pass everybody. That's unlikely. And you know, the Yankees are sort of competing against themselves. But you know what helps him get an MVP? If the Royals are still really good down the stretch, right? If he's still getting the opportunity to be a hero. So pressure's on. You got until 5 o'clock today, Royals front office. You're going to have to do something here. That's unfair. They've already done something. Is it enough? We'll continue to talk the trade deadline as we wrap it up. Hey, we want to say thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee for always fueling us up here at KFH. Always enjoy a great cup of coffee. I know Tommy and Jad have theirs front and center today. We'll come back. We'll continue to talk a little Major League Baseball. It's kind of nice, isn't it, Royals fans? Don't go away. Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is KFH. We appreciate you listening here and on the Odyssey app and watching on 12 News Connected and all the other great places that you can watch. Comments, always welcome. Rick says, we were talking about the Chiefs earlier, that Sky Moore is not going to make the roster. He's dropping passes in camp already. It is something to watch. They can't keep all the receivers they have now. Will they really cut bait with the guy they drafted so high? Well, we'll see. I mean, it's probably not too late now or too early now. What a disappointment that would be. What a miss that would be by them to spend that kind of draft capital. But we will get to that point at some point in camp when they make cuts. They have too many receivers. How many are they going to take in? I think they took seven to start the year last year. And we know Mecole Hardman's there probably to be a return man and all these other things. So we'll see if Sky Moore's one of them. I'm not as concerned about that because I think the top four or five are going to be just fine. Talk me the MLB trade deadline. I don't think there's been anything massive this morning. I don't think there's even been a lot of small stuff this morning. There was small stuff overnight. Most of it doesn't impact the Royals, probably, and guys they have at least been rumored to be in on. I think the most likely outcome today is they go big on a big reliever. I think there are two we've identified that could be out there in Fairbanks and Scott. I think that's the most likely. I don't know that there's a big bat out there that would still, I mean, the A's haven't really traded anybody yet, which is interesting. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So are they going to ultimately move some players? We'll see. Most of their guys are younger though. I don't think the Royals are done. I would say yes, they will do something today. What is it? I mean, I'd like to see him make two moves. You know, I'd like to see him at minimum bring in a platoon outfielder. And then to go get that big ticket reliever. I think that's elevated itself to top priority for me because I think everything they were trying to trade for other players is on the table. And if it is, why not just go use that to get a back end bullpen guy that can help you? If they can get Fairbanks, Tommy, that helps them for a couple of years. He's more expensive. Scott can help them this year, and I'd be okay with that if that's the way they got to go, whatever. A lot of options out there and still plenty of time. It is the trade deadline. Remember, this usually plays itself out where you get to the deadline and then there's this frenzy of moves that have happened that you try to get caught up on. And then it's not the only way players get traded anymore. There are other ways players get traded after the deadline, probably more so than ever before, but they got to clear waivers at that point and go through all the complicated things. So you don't want to get to that point if you don't have to, if you're the Royals. But here we go. We're in crunch time right now.
I've got a theory that, you know, part of the reason why the Royals didn't acquire Tommy Pham and they didn't acquire Lane Thomas yesterday can maybe be related back to why they didn't get Randy Arozarena and why they didn't get Jazz Chisholm Jr. I think partly, and they were linked to both Arozarena and Chisholm Jr. by multiple reports, they were in on both of those players. They just got outbid. My reasoning, my theory behind this is that they're wanting somebody big. They're wanting somebody high profile. I predicted a week ago that the Royals would be very aggressive with high profile players at the trade deadline. That really has yet to materialize with a few hours remaining until the deadline. But if they didn't get Arozarena and they didn't get Thomas, maybe they weren't in on Pham or Chisholm. That's who I meant.
Yeah.
Maybe they weren't in on Pham and Thomas because they're working on something bigger with a bigger name leading up to the deadline.
I don't know. We got time here. It's going to be fun to follow. We'll, of course, have it tomorrow. Thank you to Crestview Country Club for bringing us that portion of the program. Get out there. Check out Crestview's facilities. Tell them we sent you. Telling you lots of good things out there. We're going to come back. We'll tell you what's on the network today, including the Royals tonight. Don't go away.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.